All right, welcome back, everybody, and Yishanim Gam Chadash. Welcome to the Shir, Jonathan. I would like to, the topic I really want to get to, but it may take us a few days before we get there. It's not what we're doing now because we're doing things Kaseder, but the first major topic that we will address after we do all the little things before actually is the topic of Edi Chasin and Edi Mesira, which is an opportunity to explore more broadly the question of Edus. So there is obviously a major topic in the Masechta, which could be done at any particular point that you want, but this is actually officially, its official home happens to be the Mishnah on Pevot, so we will do it there. But in the meantime, we have some other matters to deal with before, which might be sort of finishing off what we started last semester. So we had the Machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim in the first Mishnah about Shir Beget, when you amagarish your wife and you do it chutz miploni. And Rabbi Eliezer said it's good, and the Chacham said it's no good, and the Gemara had a question about whether that's chutz, whether it's amanas, but the pashtus is, for most Rishonim, putting aside the Ramban, the Maskan of the Gemara, is that Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham argue only by chutz, they don't argue by amanas. So this Mishnah is a natural continuation of the first Mishnah, it is in fact the next Mishnah. It's easy, a zman having passed in between, and a lot of various sugyas in the three blot, in the intervening space, makes one forget that this is just the next Mishnah. And here the Mishnah is working within whose shita? Shemi? It's working from the Chacham shita. In other words, the Chacham in the first Mishnah basically said that you cannot be Megarish your wife and exempt some people from that Gerushin. In other words, it can't be that she's Megareshish and she can marry four of you, but can't marry the other two of you. In fact, she can't. Bottom line is that there's any person who she could marry who would be, the first mission doesn't specify, it just specifies Ploni, and this mission is exploring further, but basically you can't exclude people from that. And what is the reason for that? Which is an unfair question, because after all, the Gemara spent at least a blot, plumbing the depths of that question. But at its core, what is the problem according to everybody? However you want to, before getting into the weeds, Shimmy? It's not Croesus. In other words, in order to be Croesus for the Chachamim, it has to be the get severs the relationship between the two on some level. There is actually a little remez in the Gemara, and I owe this not because he pointed out to me, but because you questioned me, Ephraim. I went back and looked at something earlier, and something actually that the Nesiva says in the Taras Gittin. There actually is another piece to the definition of what Croesus might be. There's a hint on Pepes and Medes as to what the Chachamim's objection is. So you remember, what was Rabbi Eliezer's Machar according to one sheet in the Gemara? It's either Rabbi Yochan or Rabbi Yanai. Was the Yatzav Meisav HaHochav Es L'Shacher Afilo Hikiret L'Shacher. But what do the Rabbanon say about that? It's easy to forget that part. No, that was the other Machar. That was Afilo Lo Girsha Elam Isha. Right? That was, he doesn't mean Machar even to anybody. So what do the Chachamim do with the Pasuk? Vayisav L'Shacher, yes? See, he's a smart guy. You guys are all looking at me. He just looked up the Gemara. It says v'chol ishvish. In other words, the definition for the Chachamim, and this is not really a Croesus definition necessarily. I mean, you may say it's tied to Croesus. V'chol v'hayis tali shacher v'chol ishvish. In other words, she can marry anybody else. Anybody else, by virtue of not being married to this man anymore. Obviously, she can't marry her brother and she can't marry her father. That the Torah doesn't say that if you get married once, now you can violate all the arayas subsequently. But the point is v'hayis tali l'chol ish v'ish. Which is really the starting, that is really the focus in the Mishnah itself. Right? The Mishnah only focuses on l'chol ish v'ish. The Gemara, as it works through the sequence of questions, is actually really expanding the field. Right? And that's one of, if I asked you that question on the Makoros, what is the conceptual sequence of the bias in the Gemara? Because that is important, and it's a point that actually emerges in the discussion of the Taras Gittin. The significance of the sequence in the Gemara, that not all these questions were created equal, which really is a way of saying not all of these questions were focused on the same aspect. Each one goes a little farther afield from the original b'haisal l'ishacher l'chol ish v'ish. So let's begin first by reading the Mishnah. Daniel, can I please impose upon you? Okay. So So I'm going to say this, even though I think probably you all know this, it's worth a little point of Chazara. And the truth is, it emerges in the Mishnah because in the imprecise language in the second half of the Mishnah, as all the Rishonim point out, there is a general principle. There's a whole list of Isurei Bia. There's a whole list of Isurei Bia. In fact, if you want really, when you have Zman Shul Yom V'Laila, except at the beginning of the semester, you probably have more time, read the first two prakim of the Rambam, Hilchos Isurei Bia. He gives you sort of a very broad introduction to much of the terminology that occupies the entire gamut of Shas in this regard. And one of the things he does there is he also lists the various Isurei Bia. And Isurei Bia can be divided in different ways. One way of dividing Isurei Bia is based upon the onesh. Some Isurei Bia get Misas Beis Din as their maximal punishment. Some Isurei Bia get Karis as their maximal punishment. Some Isurei Bia get Malkus as their maximal punishment. Some Isurei Bia are only an Isur Asay, a Bitul Asay of some kind. Now, actually, I say a Bitul Asay, an Isur Asay of some kind. But a different way of looking at Kiddushin, of various kinds of Isurei Bia, is whether or not Kiddushin or Tosin. Right? The former category of Onshim is generally explicit in the Torah, or close to explicit. The Mises based and the Krasis are explicit. The Malkus is assumed based upon the paradigm of Losafso Sharbadisho, of which kind of Averis get Malkus. And the Isur Asay don't have a punishment, they're just there. But there's another way of dividing things up, with whether or not Kiddushin or Tosin. And this is by no means certainly explicit in Scripture. And here's where you have many shittos, really three shittos, but within Rabbi Akiva's shita, there are lots of subversions of Rabbi Akiva's shita. But the three shittos is presented in the Mishnah Yevamos, on Daf and Tesamen Aleph, the position of Rabbi Akiva is kol she'er basar shehu b'lo yavo. The way it's often quoted, but it's actually not what Rabbi Akiva says there, the shita exists amongst the Amorim, but it's not what Rabbi Akiva says in the Mishnah, is any time there's a lav, any iserbia that entails a losaseh, so the child of that union is a mamzer, and that is always, often linked to whether or not kiddushin bind. Kiddushin binding means a man walks up to any kohanim here. Okay, so we have still no kohanim. Kohen walks up to a grusha and says, "Honey, harayet mukideshes li tadavasa tadas mashav yisrael." She's an ishtis. She requires a get to dissolve the marriage. If she commits an act of znus now, she's an adulteress, and she gets potentially all the penalties that are entailed in that. Whereas a man walks up to his sister and says, "Harayet mukdeshes li tadas zo kadas mashav yisrael," so it's very nice, but you don't need to get. It accomplishes nothing because kiddushin are not tosin. So typically speaking, we assume with certain breakages of a link, although it's a machlokas, that when kiddushin are not tosin, then the child would be a monster for such an avera, such a union. And so the position of Rabbi Akiva is anything that's a share basa shor b'lo yava, which literally means anytime it's arayos that only get malchus. Finding arayos that only get malchus is not a simple venture. I don't want to explore it now. You can bother me outside this year. The mainstream opinion, I say mainstream because we paskin that way. The Mishnah says halacha kedvarav. That's not why we paskin that way, because you don't paskin mitoch Mishnah. But nonetheless, the mainstream position is Rabbi Shimon HaTeimani, who says that any kol shor basar shubekaris, any time chayvei krisus, any iserbia that entails karis, with one exception, the child is a manzer. The one exception to that rule is nida. The Gemara says, quotes the drush, I think Abaye quotes it there in Yevamos, and it's quoted I think in Kiddushin also, usihi nidasa alav, from the pasuk of boal nida. Usehi nidasa alav afilu b'shas nidasa tehei b'havai. The Gemara is making that clear, that even though the reason the child's a mamzer is kiddushin and tosin, not per se just the penalty of kares. When a man's wife becomes a nida, they're still married. We don't say, otherwise, I jokingly say that's the solution to the guna problem. When she becomes a nida, she's not married anymore. Quickly marry somebody else in the interim. Right. So we've discussed last semester lots of these questions of can two men's kiddushin be tosin? Just, hop in there. But obviously, what the Gemara is saying is that nida, a woman comes in nida, even though the punishment for the bia is kares, it's not kiddushin or still tosin. That's why there is imagined machlokas harishonim. I don't think it really exists whether nida is an erev or not for all sorts of purposes like yehari vayavar. I don't think such machlokas really exists. But that's why, because nida occupies this funny space. Kiddushin or tosin, but there's kares. Child's not a mom's heir. What does that mean in terms of nida's status? By the way, the exception that's always often quoted for Rabbi Akiva from Chayvei Lavin, minimally speaking, is Sota. A man's wife, once again, man's wife commits adultery. She's now Asura Lo. We don't say that they're not married. She still requires a get. So kiddushin artosin, and a child born subsequently would not be a mamzer, you know, from that husband. The third shita is shitas Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, that only chayvei nisus beis din produce mamzerus, and Tosus claims, even though it's against the pshat in a few sources, that of course kiddushin artosin. Even for Rabbi Yeshua, let's say by Chayvei Krisus. In other words, even though Rabbi Yeshua says a man has a child with his sister, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya says the child's not a mamzer. We don't paskin that. We paskin child is a mamzer. But Tosus claims, even for Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, the kiddushin are not tosin. Based upon a Gemara in kiddushin, the Achlokas Rabban Shmuel, if a man is mekadesh his sister, what do you do with the kesef? You know, is it a pikados or matana? And the Gemara just says there, Akol Yodim Shei Kiddushin Tosin Achosus. Tosin says, yeah, Akol Yodim. Nobody had a Havamini Kiddushin or Tosin. So even for Rabbi Yeshua Kiddushin are not Tosin, even though the child's not a Mamzer. That means for Rabbi Yeshua, the only Arayos that create Mamzeris, there are only six Arayos that entail Misa Spazdim, namely Eishas Ish, Isha Obita, Eishas Aviv, and Emo, there's Zohar and Behema, but obviously those don't produce offspring, so there's no question of Mamzerus. So those four Arayos are the ones that would create Mamzerus, according to Rabbi Yeshua. We pass back Rabbi Shimon HaTemani. One other note for Rabbi Akiva, and then we'll come back to the Mishnah with that Hakdama, is that for Rabbi Akiva, even for Rabbi Akiva, there's a big discussion. The Pashto says that Isurei Kahuna also don't create Mamzerus, because they create Chalalos, not Mamzerus. So a Kohen with a Grusha, probably even for Rabbi, it's not. There are different opinions. There are like at least three or four different opinions what Rabbi Akiva, where exactly he drew the line. But even for Rabbi Akiva, it might be that a Kohen marries a Grusha, the Kiddush Vatosan, the blood is a halal, the blood is not a mamzer. But outside of that, generally, Chayvei Lavin, according to Rabbi Akiva, we typically quote his shita, Chayvei Lavin are create mamzeris and Kiddushin are not tosin. The one other example, I'm sorry, I promised that we'd get back to the Mishnah. This is in the Mishnah. It's really important to realize, and this is a big machlokes l'gemar yevamos, and thank God we pasuk in Lakula, is what is the status of a child born to a Jewish mother and a non-Jewish father? Now, if you were to follow, the reason why this is complicated is because what is the Isser Bia involved? Well, that's complicated because if it's only Derech Zanus, it might not even be an Isser Daraisa. It might only be multiple Isser Darabanan. Even if it is an Isser Daraisa, the Isser would be Los Ischatein Vam, or something like that, which is only a Los Asay. Except that Kiddushin are not Tosin by a Goy or by an Eved Kanani. Why? Because they're not. B'Torah's getting the Kiddushin. So what is the status there? So the Gemara Yevamos has lots and lots of opinions of Amorayim lined up on either side of this battle, whether or not Eved Va'achum Haba Al Bas Yisrael Havlad Mamzer or Havlad Kosher. Maybe Pogum L'Kahuna if it's a girl, but fundamentally not a Mamzer. And so we paskin that the blood is a Kosher. Certainly maybe Pogum L'Kahuna, but the child is not a Mamzer. Why? Why? Kiddushin aren't Tosin. So that's based upon the Mishnah Kiddushin that says, the Mishnah Kiddushin on Dasamach Bavam Abeis, which begins the last part of the Masechta, which is really Masechas Yuchsin. It's right before Asara Yuchsin, but really it begins on Mishnah towards the end of the third parak. So the Mishnah says that Kol She'ein Lo Alav Kiddushin, Ava Yeshua Alacherim Kiddushin, so the Vlad is a Mamzer. In other words, if a Jewish woman has a child from someone with whom cannot have kiddushin with her, but can have kiddushin with other people, so then the child's a mamzer. But if that person that she has a child with, namely the guy, can't have kiddushin with anybody, that's just not in the cloud. In other words, it's a totally different rule that a guy and an eved kanani, and fortunately we pass them that way. Otherwise, there would be many, many mamzer in Bisra. It's clear the Gemara reaches sort of that maskana. So bottom line is, a goy and an eved and arayos have no tvisas kiddushin. And the arayos are defined, with the exception of Midah, all the arayos in Parshas Achrimos / kiddushin. So, the Mishnah says, yes?
You're saying
fortunately, we pass from the eved ba'akum haba basisa. Aba akum, eved doesn't really matter, but they go together. We don't have any Eved Kanani today, so it's not an issue. But fortunately, we passed them that Goy HaBaal Bas Yisrael as a child of Laza Kasher.
Is there also a command? I assume
there was a command. Yes, but I mean, more so today than ever, unfortunately. L'davoneinu harav, much more so today than even 100 years ago. It's always been an issue, but... even in Tanakh. Okay, well, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. That's just complicated, so we'll leave it aside for the moment. How's that? Yes. Because you never know. Did they convert? That's the question. Okay. So, Daniel, now I'll let you go. Hareyat muteres l'chal adam. Okay, so at its core, the Mishnah basically says that if the chutz clause, or the ella, as it's formulated, notice once again, they stick with the ella, what if Mishnah just said chutz, but the chutz clause once again used here, the chutz idea here, is that if this woman could have kiddushim with this man, regardless of whether it's mutar or asur, then this is considered a shir beget. If the exclusion that he makes, chutz mi ploni, is someone that she cannot have kiddushim with anyway, so it's not as if his get has an, his shir has any impact. Saying, here's the deal, this is your get, but this get, not almanas, but this is your get, but it won't apply for you going to marry Joe the guy, or your father, or my brother. Well, that's nice, but he couldn't have kiddushin anyway with those people. Kiddushin wouldn't be posted. So the get, the shir and the get has zero impact in the real world. We don't care that you verbally uttered some type of a shir. If the shir has no practical meaning, we don't care for the moment. We'll explore that further. We'll dig down a little further. Yes, Daniel.
I was about to read, assuming something in this later. Right now we're saying Mishnah. Are we assuming one way or the other in this, when it talks about whether it's marriage to the father or via with the father later?
No. I think the pashtus in the Mishnah, which is why the Gemara really has those questions, the pashtus is really only about Nisuin, Kiddushin Nisuin. Yes. I mean, I think that's a... Yes, but so you have to understand that the questions of the Gemara are extensions now. Now that we've established this principle that that you can have a problem because there's a shir b'kiddushin, what about other kinds of shir that are no gear to the kiddushin somehow, but are not excluding bodies? Right? Everything in this Mishnah is about bodies. Which men can she marry? I'm giving you this get, but this get doesn't apply to your father. Very nice, but she couldn't have kiddushin with the father either. Whether or not she was ever married to this guy, whether or not she's migresh or something, she couldn't marry his father anyway. No, the Gemara is, but the reason why the Gemara does, it's not sure about it, is precisely because the simple reading of the Mishnah, the simple reading of the Mishnah doesn't tell you the answer to the question the Gemara asked, but it doesn't tell you the answer to the question the Gemara is asked. In other words, the Mishnah doesn't imply that chutz mi rushaseich, that it's okay. But it doesn't imply that it's not okay. And you can't. Well, the question initially, but the Gemara ultimately rejects it. It does. It does reject it. That's why you get into the whole debate between the Beis Shmuel and the, it's precisely how to read the conclusion. The Gemara clearly says, oh no, the Mishnah could be talking about Nisuin. Lav dafka snus. Correct. That's all I'm saying. In other words, what the Mishnah is made clear about is that if you're Mishayer only in Kiddushin / Nisuin, it's with someone who she could have had tesis kiddushin, it's a shir. With someone she couldn't, it's not. Beyond that, we don't know. You can't tell. That's why the Gemara has all these questions. But there's only one question that the Gemara perhaps solves, but it's the kind of question where you're excluding a body. Yeah. Now, the part that's very odd. So firstly, just to clarify. A couple of you were kind enough to come and ask. Either the rest of you knew exactly or didn't really care to dig down, which, okay, maybe it's not so important here. What is a nusin? Daniel? A descendant of the Givonim. What is the status of a nusin? I expected you might know the first one. The second one is not as easy, yes. Well, that's a very good inference because he's always coupled with Manzer. What's the Malkar? You know there's a prohibition of marrying an Ammoni male, a Moabi male, a Mitzri, Adomi, first generation, second generation male or female. Where does the Issur Nesinim come from? Shimmy? So there's a big machlokas harishonim. The Gemara in Yevamos, in I think it's in Perika RL, has a discussion about los ischata in bam, because the los ischata in bam is one of those strange conceptual formulations, because if kedushin not tosin by a guy, los ischata in bam doesn't mean anything. Of course you can't marry them, kedushin not tosin. You go to a non-Jewish woman, give her kedusha kasev, and her kedusha slay. You can do it. It can be Groundhog Day. Because each day, each moment, when the show is over, you're back to not being married, because the marriage doesn't work. So, los ischata in bam can only mean one of two things. It either means that you're not allowed to go through the motions and live with a non-Jew marrying them, as if you're married, even though the kiddushin aren't binding. Even though the day you decide to do tshuva, whichever party is Jewish, just gets up and says goodbye, you know, and they're not married, there's no get or anything like that. The alternative, which appears to only be a havamin in the Gemara Yevamos, of los ischatin bam, the Gemara's discussion is los ischatin bam bigiyusan or bigerusan. But if you say it's bigerusan, then there is an isser of marrying a seven-nation individual who converted, much like Ammoni and Moavi, but this would appear to be Zachar and Nekeva and Dam Dorasiri, La'olam. So there is a three-way machlokas harishonim ultimately about this question. Rashi, I want to say Rabbeinu Tam and Rashba. I don't remember who says which. One of them says that it's an issur the rabbanon, it's an asmachta, and means a nasin is like a mamzer made the rabbanon. The second shita is that a nasin, first generation of converts, is also midaraisa. Subsequent generations is only midrabbanan. So the first generation would marry, a nasim would marry a nasina, a nasim would marry a giores, which is permitted, and then the second generation is already permitted, like a third generation mitzri or adomi is permitted. And then the third opinion is that no, it is like the Isser Amoni Moabi midoraisa, but it's Zahar Menekevos Lidori Doros, so it's very much like moms there in that regard, and you transmit the status of Nasin the way you transmit the status of Mamzer. So those are the three shitas. So Nasin, but then you are correct. Nasin and Mamzer always go together. Like they're, you know, there's a term for that. It's not a hendiadis. I forget what it is. But anyway, this is a couplet that always goes together. In the same way that Amana Lakoin Gada Grushim Chalutz Lakoin Hedyot always go together. So when you look throughout many Mishnayos and Chas, when the Mishnayos want to talk about examples of kedushin or tofsin, even though there's an avera, there'll be amana grusha, amuna kohen gadol grusha chutz b'herit, mamzer sinasin leYisrael, nasin mamzer leYisraelis, and so on. That'd be sort of very standard form. There's only one problem in the Mishnah, right? The problem in the Mishnah is Daniel. Yeah, in other words, you wouldn't say grusha lekohen hedyot. She is becoming a grusha now. So it's kind of superfluous. So the real answer, the Ramban quotes two answers, the Rashba only quotes one of them, and the Ritva quotes both of them, is that this is Gwara the Lishnah. This is the way the Mishnah is, the editors, the redactors, the Mishnah, I'm filling in just a little bit, but it's the same, really what they're saying, had certain templates. So they just, we call it Shiva the Lishnah. They, when they want to quote Lavim, that Kedushin Artosim, they pick on Mana Lakoin Gada Gusha, Chalutza Lakoin Henyot, Manzeres, and the Sinali Israel. By the way, Chalutza is a Machlokas of Tanar, Rabbi Kiva the Chachamim. We pass by the Chacham that Chalutza is only midrabbanan. Rabbi Akiva says Chalutza is like a grusha midaraisa for foot. So anyway, so that's why the Mishnah says Aman al Kohen Gadol grusha Chalutza l'Kohen Hedyot. But it's kind of silly because she's already a grusha, A for Kohen Gadol, B for Kohen Hedyot. The Ramban has a second answer. What's the Ramban's other approach to this, dealing with this problem? Jonathan? I don't think so. Yes, what you said is true. I think it's the emphasis on there. Is that the Ramban is saying the following. Read the second line. Inami. That's a mistake, no? That's a toast so far. What should it read? Has to be. I don't know if I had the reply here to see what he says, but can't be. Is it loha? Is it amana lagusha lakotla, etc.? Is that a shir or not a shir in the Mishnah? It's a shir. Right. I'm sorry, when I read the Ramban initially, I haven't changed my mind. I'm sure pretty sure what the Ramban means. I just didn't, I read too quickly not to translate. The word lo doesn't belong there. What the Ramban is saying? He's saying that you're asking me, why do you have to say, maybe I'm wrong in amending it, but why do you have to say, grusha l'kohen hedyot? She's becoming a grusha definitionally now. So it means now, if he says you can't marry a kohen. So what the Ramban's first answer is, enechanami lav dafka. It really shouldn't have been here. But the second teretz, if I understand it correctly, is that the difference between, in other words, grusha l'kohen hedyot means she already was a grusha from a previous marriage. Now, which grusha status is worse, theoretically? The first or the one now? Why? Well, it was Gerush and Gemurim. There were no exceptions to it. So the Ramban is saying that even when the Mishnah is telling us, forget this Gerushin now, which is kind of, it's in between. Even a Gerushin Gemurah, where there's no questions about it, she was previously divorced. You might have thought that, maybe that's a Shear. I mean, maybe that's not a Shear, because she's a real Grusha Gemurah. Which says, doesn't matter. Bottom line is, she could be a Grusha Gemurah before, Gerushin would still be Tosum at the coming. It's not just because of this mostly, partially Shear Gerushin we're doing now. Even with the Gerushin from earlier, for sure, without a question, it's still not going to make a difference. Kedushin will still be Tosin, and it's a Shear in this. Now, even if she had more Isser floating on her before this get, it's still a Shear in this get. That's why the word low, I think, doesn't belong there. Yes, Daniel?
I think I read that the low starts about there now. I sort of think that even if in a general case, he gives her a get and doesn't say anything. Right? He says, oh, yeah. Which are the Kolazan, you might think that's a Shear. You might think there's a Shear in that because she was already divorced or widowed previously. But no, that wouldn't be a Shear, only this would be a Shear.
Not sure I understand this. The way to preserve the Gerusha might be, I would have thought that, so that's why the Mishnah tells us, it adds in Grusha L'Kohenev. Even someone who is a Grusha Kvar is a Shear. The Lo Havi Shear would have to be part of a Havamin. Okay. If you want to read as the Maskana, the word Lo must not belong there. Yes, sir, right. In other words, you might have thought. Hold on. What the Ramban I think is saying is that you might have thought that it is more likely to be a Shear Lagabe this Kohen because it's because she's not yet a Grusha. She hasn't yet been a Grusha. So with respect to this Kohen that he's singling out now, she's kind of really is Muteris Tin because she's not yet a Grusha. And therefore, it is a Shear. But by a case that she was already a Grusha, before she got married to this guy, before he starts this get, which he wants to exclude her from a Kohen, you would have thought, well, that's already, clearly she's a black and white Grusha before you even get into the parasha, before she married this guy, she was a Sur L'Kohen. So now when he accepts the Kohen from the get, it's not really a Shear, because she's already a Sur with him from before. It's Gerush and Gemur. So that's why either Lo Havi Shear is the Havamina, or you got to take the word low out, right? But the point of the Gemara is that even in the case where she's a Grusha Gemura before the giving of this get, which is mostly a get, nonetheless, it's a Shear Beget. Because bottom line is Kiddushin or Tosin, so I don't really care that she's already Grusha. I don't care whether she's a Grusha Gemura or a 90% Grusha. Even a Grusha Gemura, Kiddushin or Tosin, therefore it's a Shear in this get. Okay. Fine. So that's what the Mishnah has to tell us. So now the Gemara explains. Go ahead, Daniel. Okay. And somebody added in the parentheses, Amoni, Moavi, Nisine, Mitzray, Adome, you could have added in. We didn't mention, Nisine doesn't belong there because it's in the Mishnah already. Note, by the way, that the language of the Gemara itself is... what is the Gemara responding to? when it says follow the ratio, follow the space, it doesn't mean, yes, Jonathan?
Correct.
Correct. The kola doesn't mean the general rule of it. Whenever, you know, the way we would read the Mishnah, if we weren't rabbinically trained in reading Gemara, is we would say that the Mishnah gives you examples, and it explains to you what the principle is. And the list of examples might be, although it really can't, because it's vichol, might be exhaustive, might not be exhaustive. Everywhere, I believe there's only one exception in Shas where you have one of these things. We have a zeh klal, actually. In the Mishnayos in Megillah, about when you read four aliyos, when you read three aliyos. And the Mishnah mentions Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh, and there's nothing else, no other time that we read four aliyos, so the zeh klal can't be marba anything. But I don't want to say nowhere else in Shas, but I'm not familiar with another place where they can't come up with something to add to the list. But anyway, because it says vichol, it means there are others, and therefore, the klal of the resha is to include shar chayvei kresus, besides abba and avicha, for example. Let me just get some simple examples. If I? What? A brother's in the Mishnah. No? A nephew? A mother's or grandmother's husband, so be Ishobita. Okay, so you can basically go to the parasha Achim or Kedoshim and play the rest of them. And the klal of the Seifa is to include other Chayvei Lavans. And the Sine, obviously, if that were in the Gemara, it couldn't be there. But Amoni, Moavi, Mitzvah, and Mitzvah and Adomi don't belong there either. Because, I mean, it's true, but they're not Chayvei Lavan. In other words, really, it's the difference between all other places where Kiddushin are not Tovsin and all the places where Kiddushin are Tovsin. Right? Does Rashi not have Nasin in the Mishnah?
Yeah, you only talk about it down
there. Yes. I wonder about the placements of the Gemas. It's a good question. I don't know. Did you look up the... I strongly doubt it's not in the Mishnah, let's put it this way. It's such a standard phrase, Mamzer Nasin. It's hard to believe it wasn't there. It seems to me more likely this got copied in the wrong place, but I can't tell you for sure. Okay. But good, astute that you noticed it. I didn't. Okay, so now the Gemara starts on question-a-thon. Okay, Shimmy. Thank you, Daniel. Okay. Kiddushin Katan are not Tosin. Is there ever a case where a Katan might have Kiddushin Tosin Midaraisa? Katana is easy. I mean, Katana is standard, father. Is there ever a case that a Katan could be married Midaraisa? The answer may be no, but there is one case that falls in the a little bit in the twilight zone. A Katan above the age of 9 years in a day who performs Yibum. Why? Ryan? Because Yibum doesn't require das. While obviously it is it's the $64 million, or one of the $64 million in the Seches Yevamos, what exactly is the nature of the bond between the Yavam and the Yevama before they have Bia? Right? That whole question of what the Zikah is and the relationship of the final marriage to the bridge to the dead brother's Kiddushin is obviously one of the central conceptual questions in the Seches Yevamos. So there does seem to be, I don't think, if a katan does kiddushin with a woman, you know, gedola, let's say, I don't think there's a shayla, there's no suffix whatsoever, kiddushin tells them, we don't require a get. But bia with a yavam katan most certainly does, and it's not, I don't know if it's 100% clear from the Gemara, whether that's really only drabanan or if that might actually work with araisa. But other than that, we can leave that odd case out here. Bottom line is a kiddushin katan are not tosin. So if a man divorces his wife, and says, chutz mi so-and-so the katan. So, in fact, let's say chutz mi so-and-so, and he happens to be a katan. So the Gemara wants to know, is that a shir, the shir we get? What are the two tzadim the vaye? Go ahead. Okay, so the question is, so right now, you can't have kiddushin with a katan. But as we say on the Yom Hamila, so-and-so is a katon gadol yeh. So eventually, he's gonna grow up, both to be a big, you know, when they say kleiner kinder, kleiner tzaras, greiser kinder, greiser tzaras is the expression, but he'll grow up to be a gadol, maybe a gadol b'Yisrael, maybe just a, you know, a gadol in whatever form, it, listus, whatever it is, but he will grow up to be a gadol, and so you can anticipate that. It's readily anticipatable. Now, which sugya in Shas obviously kind of lurks a little bit in the background here, and you will see this in some of the comments of the Rishonim, particularly the Rashba. There's a sugya in Shas that's kind of echoes are lurking in the background. What's that? Davar shelo bala olam. The language of the Rashba actually resonates with that sugya when he draws distinctions between a katan versus someone who wasn't born yet. But the question is, you have potential here, and this is obviously a topic that ranges across Shas in lots of Dine Mamado stuff, tons of stuff, tons of modern economic stuff, the whole idea of futures, of rights to purchase. All of that touches upon the sugya of Davar Shelo Bala Olam, which in itself, Ephraim, touches upon which sugya? As Davar Shelo Bala Olam Asmachta. It is an outgrowth of the Asmachta sugya. All of Shas is connected. So Davar Shelo Bala Olam is a little bit of the question here. The Katan right now cannot have Kiddushin, but the Katan in a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years will be able to have Kiddushin. And we can assume statistically, you know, the Gemara doesn't explore that option, but, you know, and whether it would be relevant, I don't know, but there might be a difference between a 3-year-old child and a 10-year-old child, because frighteningly, I mean, today, thank God, this is not the reality anymore, but if you go back 300 years or 400 years, infant mortality, you know, below a certain age was like staggeringly frightening. I think in some contexts, people didn't regard their child really as a person and didn't quite mourn the same way until about 5 years old, because it was so common for young children to die. Today, thank God, that is an extreme rarity. So today, once a child is born without any significant challenges, their odds of reaching, you know, adulthood, a certain halachic adulthood, are probably, you know, 99.8% or something like that. So that might be different than in a situation or at an age where, and in an era in which it wasn't the case, where there was a fairly good probability the child wouldn't reach such an age. So the bottom line is that child is here, but not a gadol yet. So the question is, do we look at where they will be or where they are now? Right. Where do probabilities begin? Can you explain that question a little bit?
When do you start thinking probably that X or Y will happen?
I don't mean to be reading into the question about katan. I'm raising that possibility. I don't know. Now, as the Gemara asked the question by a katan, it doesn't explore. The way most Rishonim reaches the maskana that the katan is asir l'chal gadlus. But the question is that a case? You know, if a katan, unless I'm wrong about the numbers, it could be that even from even a child born still had a rogue of chance of surviving. And I don't know if that's true. I just don't know. But if a katan had such a, you know, a less than 50% chance of surviving, would they say the same thing? I don't know. I'm not proposing it in the Gemara itself, because there's no indication there. But the Gemara, in other words, and I don't know if this comes up. I mean, it definitely comes up in some ways in the Davar Shelo Bala Olam situation, because in Asmachta, it's a clear issue. In other words, what are your thoughts? What do you think is going to happen? And if you think it's not likely to happen, so then you're not so mechnas on it. So I'm throwing that idea out. I don't really know if that plays a role here. So the question is, a katan who is likely to be the case, and I would say, in other words, in the absence of any unusual actions, that katan will become a gadol, and she would, since he has a potential of kiddushin and he is being excluded, it is a sheer beget and it's not a good get. So here I'm going to throw the hand grenade onto the floor, the proverbial hand grenade, and ask the question, what happens if we say the answer to this question were to be the opposite? Well, I'm going to ask the question differently. Well, let's say the answer to this question were, Katan is not a bar kiddushin, therefore it's not a shir. Okay, what happens now when this katan becomes a, so the get's a good get. What happens when the katan becomes a gadol? Can she marry him or not? Shimi?
I have to assume that she could marry him because you're not allowed to share a get.
Correct. In other words, the purpose, this is not a tanai. that this is your get almanas, that you don't marry so and so who happens to be a katan. That, assuming that a tanai would work, even when he becomes a gadol, you wouldn't be allowed to marry him because it would undo the tanai. This is not a tanai. This is a get which I want to work for you only to permit you to most people, but not to this individual. I want you not to be divorced with respect to this individual. In order for it to be a good get, it has to be, there's no shiur. And the reason there's no shiur here is because this katan is not a bar kiddushin. So therefore, it's a complete get. Now, can she marry the katan after the get is given? Well, the answer is no and yes. No, because he's a katan. She can't marry him. That's why it wasn't shiur the get. But if he turns into a gadol, the answer is yes. So I said this last semester with respect to a guy. I thought his pashut is a guy and an eved, the Mishnah says, are not shiur beget, that if the guy now converts, or the eved is freed, then of course she can marry him. In other words, it's not that it's a get, but that she can't marry him. It's that it's a get, period. She can't marry him because she can't marry him. Except for as opposed to Ava, Avicha, Achi, and Achich, Ava, and Avicha, and Achi, and Achich, which can't change, a goy and an eved can change. So it turns out Ephraim kindly last month confirmed that the Chazon Ish says such a thing. So, Bar Shechivanti. But I assume the same thing is true with the Katan. If, it's not true because we don't pass in that way, but if it were not considered a shir because a Katan is not by Kiddushin now, then when the Katan became older, she could marry him. Yes, John. Well, yes, but that's why the Gemara doesn't speak in this way. In other words, you're right. It's a perfectly logical distinction. That's why we never get to second base. Maybe even to first base. I'm sorry for the metaphor, but you understand fine, right? Okay. Fine. So the Gemara's answer is, go ahead, Shani. Okay, so a katana is allowed to be miskareshes with kiddushei aviha. Meaning, even though a katana has no das, and even though when a father marries off his daughter, the kiddushin arda, when she's a katana, the kiddushin arda raisa, the father's das substitute for his daughter, but once she gets divorced, but once she has nisuin, she's no longer bishus aviha, and he can't be mekabel her get, and whether he's dead or alive, and she can, however, receive the get. Ah, oh, but she has no das. The answer is, consent of a woman isn't required with a raisa medina de gemara for gidden, and therefore das is not required. She just has to have enough das to understand what's going on. That she's your das, let's say lishmor is gita. But outside of that, the gerushin works. So the gemara says, how is that possible? After all, am I? Yeah. So this, by the way,